The epistle appointed to be read for this, the third Mass for Christmas, is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, last of all in these days has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who, being the brightness of his glory and the image of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power, has effected man's purgation from sin and taken his seat at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much superior to the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels has he ever said, "Thou art my Son, I this day have begotten thee"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "And let all the angels of God adore him." And of the angels indeed, he says, "He makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." But of the Son, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and a scepter of equity is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved justice and hated iniquity. Therefore God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou in the beginning, O Lord, didst found the earth, and the heavens are works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt continue. And they shall all grow old, as does a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou change them, and thou shalt be changed, and thou shalt be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." And the Holy Gospel. Is according to St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was made nothing that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness grasped it not. There was a man once sent from God, whose name was John. This man came as a witness to bear witness concerning the light, that all might believe through him. He was not himself the light, but was to bear witness to the light. It was the true light that enlightens every man who comes into this world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, he gave the power of becoming sons of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. Thus for this feast day's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, first of all, this morning, I certainly want to extend to each and every one of you the felicitations and the good wishes and the prayers of all of the monks and the sisters and the nuns. And we truly hope and pray that Almighty God will fill each of your hearts with the glory of this magnificent day. Just as a matter of report to you, because certainly for perfectly valid and understandable reasons, you could not and were not here last night for midnight mass, but just so that you know, the church was about as packed as I've ever seen it, and the singing was absolutely gorgeous and gave glory to Almighty God, the newborn babe, very generously given by the people. In too many places today, this glory is withheld. But if it was withheld elsewhere, it was certainly given generously here last night. And I was very pleased with it and very edified by it, that the people were that generous. As we celebrate today, we must keep in mind the vision that is so prominent today, or should be in the hearts and minds of every man and woman and child. Never before, and certainly never since, has there been such an invitation given to mankind as was given that night to some poor, unlearned men. Men, people without an agenda. Simple men, honest, kind, humble. They were the ones that were visited by the angels. They were the ones that were invited by the angels. Unlearned, and I dare say men that would not have been welcome in the homes of too many of us today. We would not have brought those smelly men into our houses. But the angels went to them, the smelly ones. Isn't that strange? They did not go to the ones that were up on the hill in the inn, the powerful ones, the notable ones, the influential ones, no doubt the very pious ones. Because certainly they were, some of them, many of them perhaps. They didn't go there. There was something missing in all of their importance and whatever. The angels did not go near those people, did not make anything known to those people. They went to a half a dozen handful of poor old men that were tending sheep. And they told them that they should go to a little stable over there on the other side of the walls of the city of Bethlehem. That's where they went. And there they found Jesus Christ. My beloved people, not that I say that we must all go to a barn, but at least you know what the figure is that we're speaking of. That there, in the simplicity of it all, in the honesty of it all, in the full honesty of it all, is where we will find Jesus Christ. And that simplicity must be in our hearts. We here in the monastery, in the convent, we pay little attention, really, though we have to pay a certain amount of attention, of course, for the edification of ourselves and for the edification of the people. But we pay little attention to the externals that pull people. The thing that we're interested, that bear upon the people and pull them in that direction. But the thing that we are particularly interested in is the internal conversion that exists or should exist in the heart of man. A moment ago, I used the word agenda. In such ones, in the hearts of such men and women, there is no agenda, because the only thought is in their hearts is an honest, truthful observance of the rule of God. In giving love, true love, honest love, humble love, sincere love, continuous love, unremitting love to Almighty God. And so often we speak of the times that at the moment of prayer, we are one way. What are we, whoever we may be and wherever we may be, what are we after the moment of prayer is done and over with? Are we as honest and compelling and truthful and sincere as we are during prayer time? It is at those moments that we give either honor or dishonor to Almighty God. So today, when we come to the crib of Jesus Christ, that's where we should pour our hearts out in honesty and sincerity and to Him, and express to Him our love. And not only express it, but show it. Insincerity and double dealing and double talking today is the pattern that is used in relations with men among themselves. There must not be any such with Almighty God. Either we love Him as we should, or we don't love Him at all. There is no in between. And this is where we find out how many, myself included, I'm not excluding myself, don't misunderstand me, how many of us would, in the middle of a very cold night, go to that little, bleak, dirty, forbidding shack and to kneel in the mire that was in that shack so that we could give honor and glory and praise to Almighty God? How many of us would make that trip? Or would we stay back because of our whatever? So this is what we're not called upon to do big things. Almighty God does not need me nor anybody else to get the job done. He doesn't need me. All He wants from me is my love. All He wants from me is a love strong enough that will draw me and pull me and take me to Bethlehem. You know, that's where it is. It doesn't exist any other place. And my high-sounding words do not mean anything to Almighty God. He doesn't read my words. He reads my heart. That's what we have to be careful about at times like this. It is the love that exists in my heart that will keep me from doing anything at all that is displeasing or dissatisfactory to Almighty God. So, as we stand here, as I stand here this morning, we wish not only you, but for all of us, that we can approach this infinite occasion of when the second person of the Blessed Trinity, God Himself, as we read in today's Gospel, in Him was life. In this child was life. He made everything we have here, including ourselves. And it is only if we approach that place with the proper attitude that we will have the peace and the calm and the joy and the serenity that that little hut had. May you be blessed. May you receive this grace from Almighty God, that you will have this in your hearts and minds and souls. Nothing else will do. The world no longer sees that. And the world, little by little, has drifted completely away from it all. Let us not make judgment. Let us all always approach with that song, perhaps. I don't like to use that term necessarily, but let it be used in the proper context with the song that this occasion calls for. Can you imagine what kind of song must have come from the angels as they exploded with joy at what had taken place? Can you imagine? And we must try to do our best to include that in our way of life. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and those you love most, my beloved people.